Welcome to Escapes. I'm Erica Hemphill, and I am thrilled to invite you on this empowering journey. Join me as we explore the art of escaping self-doubt, the constraints of the 9-to-5 grind, the false realities that hold us back. We'll empower you to embrace entrepreneurship, motherhood, and co-working with your partner, and to boldly step into leadership roles that were once thought unattainable. Escapes is more than a podcast. It's a community of resilient women and men who are rewriting their stories, chasing their dreams, and smashing through glass ceilings. Together, we'll share stories of triumph, strategies for success, discuss our failures, and use insights from remarkable individuals who have paved their own paths to greatness. So join me, Erica Hemphill, as we unlock the doors to your unlimited potential. It's time to escape, empower, and embrace. Oh, and elevate. Your adventure begins now. Well, guys, today is going to be an exciting episode because I get to go down memory lane with my special little honey that is on the episode today. And he is so not ready for this, but he is going to conquer it like a champ. So everybody, I hope that you like, share, subscribe, because Mr. Garland Hemphill, my better half, is on the episode with me today, and I am super excited so that we can start this power couple episodes every month. So, Mr. Hemphill, let them know that you're a real deal today.
I just can't help but stop smiling because of how excited you are to do this. While I'm still a little bit nervous about it, but there's nothing to hide. I'm glad to be here, and hopefully we can keep this entertaining. And
I'm so excited, and to see if y'all could just see him smile. My husband doesn't smile very often. We're working on that every day. So to have him here, and he's going to be a huge participant in this every month. So once a month, we're going to get on here and we're just going to be real with everybody. So I think that the best way for people to get to know us is from the beginning. So, oh, look, he's like really
just
smiling.
Lean back. How far back do you really want to go?
So when I think about like where we started, I immediately think about Southeastern.
It was definitely college. And we
Those
were having
fun.
We were having a lot of fun.
But we were friends first. We met through an organization at Southeastern, and I'm older than Garland. Let's just get that out there so that everybody already knows. And look, he's like, he's peacocking right now, y'all.
Cradle robber in the house.
Oh my gosh. Don't say that. So, but it's fun. It was fun. Like we were friends. We met through some mutual friends, and I think we always just enjoyed our company.
Right. It had nothing to do with how attractive she is.
Or how handsome you are. That's for sure. You used to have hair back then. For anybody that doesn't know, he's completely bald now, on which I don't know what to think about that, because I like you better without your hair. So back to the baby days when we were babies, Southeastern was like a good place for us. It was a good start, I think, a good foundation.
So, and the timeline was Hurricane Katrina. So Hurricane Katrina hit in August of 05, and that was my first semester at Southeastern. I think you'd been there, what? Two years?
Yeah, so my first semester, I graduated in 03 in May, and so I started in 03 in the fall.
Yeah, me and my roommate had stayed out late one night, and then the next morning, the dorm administrator had came knock on our door to wake us up and tell us we had to evacuate. We didn't even know a storm was coming. So must have been a good night.
Yeah. But then even after we met at Southeastern, I think when we actually, you were moving back to Missouri. We were still friends and we were hanging out, and you had started telling everybody that you were moving back. I had just split up with a previous gentleman and you were moving away.
Yeah, I graduated high school in Southeast Missouri, and I decided to come to Southeast Louisiana University because my mom was an alumni there. Can't really think of why I was trying to move back. Not really sure. I don't know what I was looking for.
But I remember when you said you're moving back, I remember calling my best friend and telling her, dude, did you know that G? Oh, by the way, you'll hear us say that a lot too. We call him G, G for Garland. I was like, did you know that G was moving away? And I was kind of shocked and I didn't know how to really think about that. I wasn't happy with that decision. I can say that.
Yeah, well, a couple of weeks before my first semester at SEMO, Southeast Missouri, was going to start, I decided to come down to Louisiana for one last hang out with my old Louisiana friends. And
you ran into me.
Yeah. Yeah. I bumped into you and I went missing for 10 days.
That's when we went to the concert and we had a blast in New Orleans and we went and saw Johnny Lang.
Yeah. So my mom sent out a search party for me because I wasn't answering my phone.
Garland is the youngest of five and the brothers were calling.
Yeah.
I remember that.
Yeah.
So. And then shortly after that, you went back up there and I traveled up there. And I can remember we had so many conversations of just what we were doing, what we wanted out of life, and
a lot of late
relationships.
Night, a lot of late night conversations, I can definitely recall. And then there was this final late night conversation where you broke it down that you didn't believe in long distance relationships.
I don't. And I still don't know if I was put back in that situation, if I would do the same thing, because I still don't believe in long distance relationships.
Well, when you told me that night, I said, well, I'll just move back tomorrow. And
I thought you were lying.
Yeah.
I really did.
She thought I had too many drinks.
Yes. I didn't think that you were really going to pack your bag that morning. Do you remember what happened the next morning?
Yeah. And she's asking that because I don't have a great memory. But yeah, the next morning, right when I woke up, she said, do you remember what we talked about last night? And I was like, I do. I said that we were going to move, so we got to get packing.
And y'all, he packed everything up. But the part that he's smiling about, he's even got like red cheeks thinking about it. I met his grandmother for the first time when I went up there, and she was the sweetest thing, sweetest Southern Belle gem that I had ever met in my life. And he walked into the kitchen that morning as I'm supposed to be leaving. Now, they thought that I was leaving and going back to Louisiana and that he was staying. So when I went to go say goodbye, you want to tell him what she said? And your mom, they totally put me on the spot.
They said, are you taking him?
As we're standing in the kitchen, I didn't know what to say. I froze.
So yeah, right there in the middle of everybody, I just said, yeah, I'm leaving.
And he got in his car 15 minutes later and left.
Yeah. And we've been together ever since.
Can you believe that's been 16 years? We've been married 16 years and we've been together for what, 18?
Yeah.
18 years. So when I think about that, and if I'm sitting on the other side of this podcast and I know that obviously we've been together that long, what are some of the things that you highlight once we came back to Southeastern? Like how long we were together, where we went after that? There's been a lot of highs and lows and moving. We move a lot.
Yeah, there's been a whole lot that's happened since then. As far as we came back to Louisiana, but we weren't here for long. We came back to Southeastern Louisiana University for one more semester before we realized that the cost of living after Hurricane Katrina was absurd.
Astronomical.
Yeah, we were both working. When we weren't in class, we were working. And we didn't have enough money to pay our rent. And we really weren't living. We were just working and going to school. There was no money for fun.
No.
So after Hurricane Katrina, the rent in this area in Louisiana doubled pretty much overnight.
Lots of conversations about that. Like, what are we going to do? How are we going to keep going to school and trying to work and just making it? You were going back and forth to New Orleans to work.
So let's just face it. I was a lot more used to living paycheck to paycheck. Erica was not comfortable that way, which I can't say that was a bad thing. So
we had two totally different upbringings, and that'll be on a totally different conversation episode. But we definitely, you are correct. I was not comfortable with that. I wanted more security than just paycheck to paycheck.
Right.
So I think that brought on a lot of deeper conversations.
I remember one conversation, Erica asked me, where would you be if we hadn't met? And my end game was to get to the University of Arkansas in Fayetteville, Arkansas. I had two older brothers that lived there. I really liked the area. It was beautiful. I love Arkansas, beautiful state. And another great thing about Arkansas is the cost of living is much more affordable than where we were. So in that conversation where I was telling her that, you know, if I had never met her, my end game was to get to the University of Arkansas. I think it wasn't but about a week later, she picked me up from a class. I don't even remember where we were going, but just randomly got in the car and she's like, "So how about we move to Arkansas?" Yeah. Well, Erica had lived in Louisiana, born and raised her whole life. Yeah.
But I never had this square box vision that it was my only place that I wanted to live. I always wanted to travel. I always thought I would leave Louisiana. I think anybody that knows me now knows my spunky attitude and creativity. And I wanted to see what else was out there. And when you posed that, I think during that conversation, I was like, I'm open to that. I'm open to seeing something different. And the way that you had described Arkansas and the beauty of it, I think I wanted to be a part of that.
Do you remember taking a trip up there just to see it?
Yeah, it was like around Thanksgiving or sometime around there. It was like during that
fall
break or whatever Southeastern had at that point. And I remember we drove up there. I don't even remember where we stayed. I really don't. I would have to really think about that.
At my brother's house, maybe?
Maybe. Yeah. But I remember going up there and I just fell in love with everything was so different than what I was used to seeing here. Like you said, I was born and raised here. I'd never seen anything else.
Yeah. There's hills there for people that are listening. The only hill in Louisiana is as you go over the railroad tracks.
That's not true. When you go up to Amite, there are slightly rolling hills.
Some hills, but not like in Arkansas.
But I do remember when you got in the car that day, I was adamant. I'd already done so much research during your class that day that I was like, oh, wow, the cost of living is cheaper there. I think we could do it.
Let's put that into perspective. Like a one bedroom in Louisiana at the time would have rented for maybe $750 a month. We were able to secure a one bedroom apartment in Fayetteville for $345 a month.
Now, this was a nice apartment. Well, okay, we'll get to the apartment in a minute, but it was in a nice area. It was owned by a company that had golf courses and lots of.
It might have been dated, but it was nice. It was nice.
Yeah. But the funniest part is how we got there. No. Tell them how much we left here with. We were crazy. We had lost our minds.
So we put a plan together. I guess you put a plan together and I just went along with it. But as you get to know us, you'll find that that happens a lot. It's probably why it works so good. I want to get to talking to your mom and dad about you were about to move 12 hours away.
Oh, yeah, that was fun. My mom didn't talk to me for days. Because then at that point, now who was taking who?
Right. Remember, we didn't have very much money. That's why we were leaving. So we put a plan together, how much money we were going to save, how much money we needed to go there, which the magic number was $2,000.
I'm only laughing because that wouldn't get us very far now.
No. So we saved up $2,000 and we decided like over Christmas break that we were going to move up there and we were both going to find a place to live and work for 6 months before we went back to college. But before we could actually leave, we had to go tell your mom and dad the plan.
Yes.
How did that go?
I remember that the first thing was that they didn't think that we could do it. And you know that just drives me even more. Like when I think that people have self-doubt in me with something, I want to prove them wrong. And so it was more or less like, how are you going to do it?
Well, let's talk about how crazy this is. How long have we been together?
At that point?
Maybe 6 months, 4 months.
Well, let's see. That was in July, and then we went to school for 1 month. So we had maybe been together for like 8 months.
There was no ring on your finger.
No.
No.
No. Dad was not very happy with that. He thought it was a silly idea. But he didn't say that he didn't think traveling and going somewhere else was silly.
I remember what your dad said. What
did he say? I don't remember.
Oh, you remember. Your dad told me I could take you, but that I couldn't bring you back. And don't call and ask for anything.
Any money.
Yeah.
That's right. If you want to do it, then you're going to do it on your own.
Yeah. If you want to do it, go for it. I'm not going to hold you back, but don't call me for anything.
And did we?
Never.
Never. To this day, have we ever?
You trying to rub this in? You know your dad's going to be listening.
That's good. It's
all right.
Okay.
I'm proud of us. We did not have to call mom and dad for help. But
we need help with our kids now, but we have never asked for financials.
Being a mom and a dad now, having our own children now, I understand his perspective.
Absolutely.
If you're going to be man enough to take her, then you better be man enough to take care of her, is basically his point. Now, what did your mom say?
My mom was more or less, I think that she was just scared. My mom had not traveled out of Louisiana and moved. And my mom and my dad got married very young and they struggled. And I don't think that my mom wanted that for me. I think that she wanted more for me. And so she didn't talk to me. I don't think she talked to me for like a week and a half. And then it was like, we just had like a crying session because that's all it was. She was afraid. She was afraid that I would go up there and let's just be real, that I was going to not go back to school, that I wasn't going to finish school, that I was going to get pregnant, and that my whole life would change and that we wouldn't get to do the things that we always, that her and I had always talked about me doing. And so I think that it was more of just a fear thing for her. But the day that we left, Christmas was beautiful. And the day that we left, everybody was crying. Do you remember leaving? I made you talk to me for like hours on the way there because I was crying.
So nobody on this call knows, but I had moved 15 times before I graduated 12th grade. I grew up moving. So it is very sad to leave what is home. I know the feeling all too well. And Erica had never experienced that. So it wasn't.
Yeah, my grandparents were all still alive. My mom and dad were healthy and young. My brother's 10 years younger than me. So I was leaving him behind. It was scary.
Yeah.
But it was very exciting to me too. It was a new adventure.
So we left with two little cars. I had a Honda Civic. You had a
Mazda Protege.
Protege with a really good transmission.
He's lying.
And we loaded them down with everything we could fit in there and just decided that we would buy bigger furniture when we got there as we could.
As we needed or as we could.
Yep.
So I remember we pulled up. Hello, Arkansas has four seasons. We're in November. So
no, we moved there.
No, that's what I'm saying. We were in November whenever we went and looked at it, and they were in fall. They had a good fall. We get there in December. I think we had only been there a week, not even a week. I had never seen snow but one time in my life on like a Tennessee vacation or something. And what happened? Tell them about the apartment.
It snowed. We had a wonderful apartment. It was a one bedroom. It was very efficient.
He loved square box. It was so small. If you didn't leave the bedroom door open, you were not getting AC or heat from the window unit.
Well, the laundry room and the bathroom were together. You remember that?
Yes,
that was nice. At least you didn't have a washer and dryer in the kitchen like others.
Y'all, he was at work or out looking for a job. I don't even remember. You weren't working at that point. I hadn't gotten a job yet. We were literally living on the money that we came up there with. And I came home. And we had the heater on the window unit, and it had melted the vents, and snow was coming in the apartment.
Y'all, she's exaggerating.
No, I am not.
No, it might have been like a little mist or maybe a flurry here or there.
Lies.
To hear her tell it to this day, I just imagine there's 2 foot of snow in the living room.
It wasn't that much, but when I walked in, it was freezing cold in there. The vents had melted. Snow was coming in the apartment and it was snowing outside. Like snowing outside.
Right.
There's pictures of me and you and the dog outside.
Right.
And I remember I was like, oh, go.
No, I think you called maintenance first.
I did call maintenance.
And if anybody knows Erica, I feel bad for the maintenance guy. But they did come, and I'm sure they took care of it.
They did. They fixed it for us.
Man, there was a lot of great things that happened in Arkansas. It seemed like we lived in Arkansas forever, although we were really only there for a little bit less than 2 years, I think.
We had great opportunities there. People actually gave us a shot, and I think that we were young, and We didn't stay in the one bedroom apartment very long.
You said something earlier about looking for jobs. It wasn't hard to find a job. There was a lot of jobs up there. Me and Erica had committed to each other that we would not accept a job that required us to work on the weekends. And a lot of people would say that that's kind of crazy at 18 and 20 years old to think that you could go get a job and be Monday through Friday. But we did not want to work on the weekends.
And but we had talked a lot about that, and tell them why we talked about that. We were up there. We didn't have any friends. We only had your brother and them. And how are we ever to be able to do anything and get to know
people? Do anything together.
Right. If we were going to be on different schedules. So I feel like we really set some solid goals.
Right. Hobby Lobby wanted to hire me quick.
Oh my goodness. I remember that. And we were getting so tight on money. And you were like, babe, I really think I should take this job.
I have to go to Hobby Lobby.
I might have to go. And I was like, no, stay strong. No, something's going to come up. Something's going to come up. And
I had the really good interview at a drafting company. They did blueprints and they were a print shop. And I was so excited about it. This was a really professional job. And it was 2 seconds into the interview. Like, one of the first questions he asked me when I sat down was, what were my plans for the future? And I told him, next semester, I planned on attending the University of Arkansas. And he shut his notebook and told me that was the end of the interview, that he wasn't looking for anybody that was going back to school. So that was a big eye opener for me. I didn't realize that that was going to hurt my ability to get a job.
So we'll kind of fast forward a little bit quickly through some of the details after that, but you got into the University of Arkansas and I did not. And that was devastating for us. It was a,
that's a little financial aid fiasco, honestly.
Yeah.
Really sad.
And I ended up going to a community college for a year to try to get into the University of Arkansas. But during that time frame, you were at the U of A. And I remember feeling so lonely. Like, you were at this beautiful school that I wanted to be at and be there with you and experience those things. And I was stuck taking night classes at a community college 40 minutes away.
And y'all, that was, it's all, you could laugh or smile or say BS, but that was really hard for me to go to this school that was 10 times better than, in my opinion, than the school that I was at, as far as the scenery. And this is the Sam Walton College of Business. Like, the campus was beautiful. The resources were amazing. And I had to go there by myself without my wife, who wanted to be
there. It wasn't your wife.
No, without Erica, who wanted to be there. We weren't even engaged yet. So,
and
it was kind of bittersweet, to be honest.
It was. But I remember that I started substitute teaching. And I liked that, but it wasn't like giving me a drive that I wanted. And then we moved to the cliffs.
Yeah. So there's these beautiful apartments at the bottom of a hill overlooking some Ozark Mountains, and it's called the Cliffs. And I had to drive by it on the way to work. I did eventually get a job doing hardwood floors before I went back to college. I had to tell the owners that I never told the owners in the interview that I was going back to college. So basically I got a job and I worked really hard, worked with them for 6 months until the next semester of college started. And then I had to put in my 2 weeks and go to college because they wouldn't work around a school schedule either. But I had to drive by the Cliffs apartments on my way to work every day. And like, the sun would be coming up over the mountains. Is like the most beautiful sign out in front with fountains and ponds. This was just a real dreamy apartment complex, like unbelievable. There's nothing like it in Louisiana.
There's nothing like it here. Still, there's nothing like it here.
So we didn't have anything to do one weekend. And so my random idea was something to do that was pretty affordable was, let's go look at those apartments, because it doesn't cost anything to go tour some apartments. And what a great idea that was.
It was awesome because the next chapter of our life.
This was on a Sunday.
It was on a Sunday. We went and toured the apartments.
And the head management team was the only ones there to show apartments. Their staff wasn't there.
The staff wasn't there.
And Erica met the management lady. Who was her name? Brenda. Miss Brenda.
No, it was Karen.
Okay.
You remember Karen was there first.
Okay, you're right. You are right. Yeah. I remember.
And She was an older lady. They liked square dancing. You remember?
No, I don't remember that.
Oh my goodness. So
I only remember the important stuff.
Oh my gosh.
Square dancing?
Yes. You don't remember they used to have them? I bet if I asked Lynn.
They used to do them in the lobby.
In the lobby. Yeah. So, yeah, we went and we toured that day. And it just so happened that they were the only ones there. And we hit it off. I just started talking to them. I told them that I think I even told them I didn't get into the University of Arkansas. And I was looking for something steady. I hadn't gotten the contract from the school board yet. And she said, I'm looking for someone. Do you want to come be a leasing agent? Yeah. And when she told me what the perks were of that... Dun, 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 dun. One of it was you got an apartment
for free.
For free.
Yeah.
And I remember when I left there, I was like, we're moving. We're getting out of the one bedroom apartment. And you could rent all the furniture. Remember that for an extra $50.
$50 a month. And you got matching couches and end tables and beds with mattresses.
Everything.
So we were moving on up. And let's just face it, there's some moments in our life where you can't help but deny that God had a hand in it. And that was one of them for sure.
I'm going to loud cap you that you just teared up for sure on the podcast. And that's what's amazing, because when you go down memory lane, like, you realize how many wonderful people touched and shaped your journey of your life, because there were so many people after that, and we don't have to go through all those stories, but think about Lynn and David that we met there at the Cliffs.
Bub.
Oh my gosh. Bub taught you so much about maintenance. So we will say this. So Garland ended up leaving the flooring company
and
going back to college. And when I got on as a leasing agent there, they needed someone to paint the apartments
and do some maintenance.
And there was an older man there named Bub. And Lynn Revis, I hope that you find this podcast and listen, because he was such an amazing part of Garland and I's journey, and Lynn and David's journey too. And we learned so much. And he was such a faith-driven man that I love that about him. And so Garland painted apartments at night and did maintenance and went to school. And I became a full-time leasing agent and did some online classes just to kind of keep up. But I never stepped foot back on a campus in Arkansas.
But being such hard workers, we didn't stay at the Cliffs very long. We went to
because that's when we met Lisa, that was the manager of the front Cliffs, because remember it was two phases, and she said you guys should apply to be a joint manager group, and I was like, oh my gosh, I don't think we can do that.
So we ended up moving to a couple of different apartment complexes and moving up into being an assistant management team, and heck, within a year working there, they ended up assigning us our own apartment complex to be a management team, where I managed the property and the grounds and the maintenance, and Erica managed the office. And it was really fun. It was really nice environment.
So if we really think about it, that was our, like, that's when we first worked together.
Wow. Yeah.
If you really think about it, like, in-house working together. And y'all, by the way, P.S., we still aren't engaged and married at this time. No.
Which was a problem.
It was a problem when we went for our interview.
Yeah, the company that we were working for, they hired married couples to be their management team. So it was a barrier that we were able to overcome. But
and I think that Mr. Lindsay gave us our true shot. Like, yeah. I remember sitting in the interview and meeting his executive team and thinking to myself, just give me a shot and I won't let you down. And I think both of us said that in our interview. And I think that we were humble enough that they knew that we wouldn't let them down. So we were assigned this apartment complex that was not doing very well.
They had a manager that had been there for 30 years, their whole life, and had really just gotten set in her ways. So they put us there and
we turned it around.
Yeah, we worked 7 days a week. And look, Erica's a big driver in this, because I'm not as outgoing or wasn't as outgoing as her, but she made it a point that anytime we saw a tenant, that we went and introduced ourselves and talked to them. And it was like everybody that we met, we had to ask them, like, look, we realized that the management team before us had been here a long time. All of these units had so much work to be done. We were repainting.
The backlog was
changing appliances. We were really working every day, super hard to get everything caught up and fixed and taken care of. And it didn't go unnoticed. We had instant success within a few months.
With our tenants and with Lindsay management, upper management was just so ecstatic.
Supportive.
And supportive of what we were doing. And I loved that. But oh man, did we learn a lot about each other working together then?
I think I'm better now. I think I'm better now. I was still pretty young then.
Oh, you're much better now.
Yeah.
Much better. But even just like learning each other, because we had only been together a very short while at that point still. And we were working together and living together and all of these things.
Is it time to tell them that I'm the organized one and that you're not very organized and that that's what our problem is?
Yeah, I think that's a great time to tell them that story. So Garland had to learn a lot of organizational skills because I am very organized. I like things done a certain way. And oh my goodness, y'all.
Erica's got a folder system that's out of this world, y'all. Do not put a paper on the wrong side of the folder where it gets stapled here, clipped there, that goes here. Like
everything has its place. If it goes in a place and you know where it's at. So I think that, again, a lot of learning. And so we'll fast forward a little bit more. And it was time to come home. There were some things that had happened at home with family for me. And as much as I was devastated to leave because I had really fallen in love with Arkansas.
Well, I'm pretty sure that before we left, we had made a trip to Louisiana where I proposed to you. That was before we moved away from Arkansas when we got engaged. Now we got engaged.
I guess we shouldn't skip over that one.
Yeah, we got engaged in New Orleans. So back in Louisiana, because I had to come home and ask for permission. Of course.
Do you want to tell them what my dad said then? Because I remember that.
He just said I couldn't bring you back, I think.
He said there's no return policy.
No return policy.
No return policy.
Yeah.
That was such an amazing time.
So we got engaged in Louisiana, and we even picked to get married in the Thorn Crown Chapel in Eureka Springs, which was only about 30 or 40 minutes from where we were working. A beautiful place. But like you said, there were some personal things going on, and Erica was really missing home at this point. And we had been at the apartment complex. How long do you think we've been there? Six months, three months?
Well, total from the time that we moved to Fayetteville until it was time to go home, we were almost there 2 years.
Yeah.
Miss Beaudu.
Well, that's a whole nother person.
And
there's just so many people that you could go into talking about the relationships that we had. But there was one relationship in particular that had a profound impact on my personal future and our family's future. There happened to be this wonderful gentleman that lived at that apartment complex that he had given us a list one day of things that he needed fixed in his apartment, but he worked out of town. He only came to this apartment complex every couple weekends. And as I got to know him better, I learned that he had visitation with his son, and he would come into town and spend a weekend with his son, and then he would go back to Houston where he actually lived. And he worked very high up with waste management. So one day he walked in our office very randomly, and me and Erica are sitting in the office working.
We had become friends with him.
Yeah.
And he had started coming by the office when he was in town, and
yeah,
we got to know his son.
He sat down in our office that day, and he was the type of person that commanded attention. The way that he spoke, I really can't. He was just very articulate, very well spoken, very professional, and very slow, very deep voice. He said, "Look, y'all, I don't tell a lot of people who I am or what I do." He said, "But I recognize something in y'all that a lot of companies would love to have, as far as y'all's work ethic and what y'all have been able to do here." He said, "I don't know if you're happy here or not." He said, "But if there's any way possible that waste management could help you, I would be willing to help make that connection for y'all," because he saw something in us. Well, one thing that he mentioned in this conversation that seemed so interesting to us was waste management operates in all 50 states. And that would be our ticket back home. So I didn't have my degree yet, but I had about, this was my third year of college. And he told me submit a resume and an application. They had a route manager job in Baton Rouge, Louisiana. That was my job that I wanted. That was our ticket home. And I applied and I gave him my resume and he hand delivered it to the powers that be. And I thought I was in.
Oh, Lord, did our life change.
He came back to me and he said that Waste Management would not hire me to be a route manager because I did not have a college degree, nor did I have any transportation experience. Did I mention that he sat in our office and said that his office was on the 40th floor? He only answered to the CEO of Waste Management. And this guy couldn't get me a job as a manager because I didn't meet the minimum requirements. What a great company, right? I still have the utmost respect for Waste Management. But what he told me was, he said, you can't be a manager, but if you get your CDL, you can be a driver. He said, drivers make around $50,000 a year. He made, you know, he didn't sugarcoat it. He told me the positives and the negatives.
I think one positive that I took out of that conversation, because I think you and I are both very driven, I remember him telling you, just know that if you do it this way, the men will respect you more than if you just walk into the office. And I think we didn't appreciate that comment then.
Oh, I appreciate it now.
But I can definitely say we appreciate that comment now. And how much more did the guys respect you?
So I blew this guy away. In a day and a half, I read the CDL testing manual and went and took my written test and passed it and had my permit. And I hadn't practiced driving or anything yet. And I called the state trooper's office and I said, I need to schedule a CDL exam. And the state trooper on the phone asked me, when did I get my permit? And I said, I just got it today. And he said, well, you're supposed to practice with that for 6 months before you take a test. And I said, you don't understand. I just need to take a test. He would not schedule it without giving me 2 weeks of that license. So I had to wait 2 weeks to go take the road test.
And I cannot remember the gentleman's name, but he was a blessing in disguise because he was at the apartment complex.
And his dad owned a tractor company.
Yes.
He drove a flatbed truck that required a Class B CDL, which is what I needed to take the test.
And when we mentioned to him, because we had become friends with him through socializing at the complex, he said, Garland,
you could use my dad's truck.
You can use my dad's truck.
Which happened to be an automatic. And this this thing was like driving a U-Haul, y'all. Honestly, it was big, but it wasn't hard to do.
But another blessing.
Another blessing. Anybody on here, it's going to make me laugh. Maybe not other people. When I showed up in that truck to take the test, the state trooper really gave me a hard time on the test. And I actually did pass. And it was 2 weeks after Brian sent. Oh, I'm not supposed to say that name. It was 2 weeks after I was told that I needed to get my CDL that I was able to call this gentleman back and tell him that I had my CDL and I was ready to apply to be a driver. And he couldn't believe it. So, and that's how we came home.
And sure enough, Garland is coming home. We are coming home and we need a place to live. And once again, we're back in Louisiana and rent rates are still astronomical. And we go from living in this beautiful apartment with a exercise room,
swimming pool,
golf course at one of them.
Yeah.
That we were paying like, I don't even remember. I think it was like $600 a month. Well, actually, when we were the managers, we didn't pay anything.
Right.
But like just in comparison for everybody, the biggest apartment there on the golf course was $750. And we came home and our rent was like almost $1,000 or something. It was insane how much it was going to cost us to move back home. But sure enough, we move home. Fast forward, you got to go take your physical for Waste Management.
And I fail. I have a left inguinal hernia and I need a surgery in order to go to work for Waste Management. So what a challenge this has been.
And that is where we're going to wrap for today. And we will pick up episode 2 of Getting to Know ENG. Y'all have a good one and make sure you tune in next time to find out how we got where we are today.
Awesome.
Well, guys, it's been an interesting hour getting to know me and Garland. We hope that we were able to give you just a little insight to our small part of the beginning of our journey. And as you know, Garland just found out that he can't go to work for Waste Management. We've moved back to Louisiana with these expectations. So what happens next? Make sure you join us next week for part 2 of figuring out how we started, how we got from Arkansas back to Louisiana, and what's the next step. We can't wait to see you and hope you join us next week for part 2. Thank you for joining us on this exhilarating episode of Escapes. We hope that you've been inspired, empowered, and ready to embark on your own journey. The power to escape and redefine is within you. If you enjoyed this episode, please subscribe, rate, and review Escapes to help us reach more incredible women and men like you. You can also follow me on Facebook at ENG Designs and Construction and Instagram at Build with ENG. Stay tuned for more amazing stories, insights, and strategies in our upcoming episodes. Together, we'll rewrite the scripts of our unknown possibilities. Until next time, this is Erica Hemphill from Escapes. Your adventure continues, and we can't wait to be a part of it. Until next time, continue to embrace, empower, and elevate.